It's the most famous prayer in the whole world, in all of history. There's no more famous prayer than the prayer that Jesus taught His disciples so that they could teach everybody else. And for over 2,000 years, this has been the prayer that's been prayed more than any other one, because Jesus directly said, this is how you pray. I love this quote from a famous pastor back in the 1800s. And he said, the Lord's Prayer may be committed to memory quickly, because it's pretty short. It's not very long. But it is slowly learnt by heart. And what that means is, even though you can memorize it and say it really fast, to really live it out and live out what the prayer is talking about really takes a long time. And that's why we're going to take it bit by bit over the next several weeks and really go in depth and talk a lot about what it means. I love the way this famous pastor from a long time ago in the 1800s says it too. I used to think the Lord's Prayer was a short prayer, but as I live longer and see more of life, I begin to believe there is no such thing as just getting through it. If a man in praying that prayer were to be stopped by every word until he had thoroughly prayed it, I mean, really thought about it, really took it to heart, really lived it out, it would take him a lifetime. And so there's only five little sentences in this prayer, but they're so important to our lives that it would take a lifetime to really live it out. So how did this prayer come to be? I want to give you a little background about how it happened. Well, Jesus would often go away by himself into the forest or by a lake or up in the mountains just to get away by himself and have some quiet time and pray to God. And one day Jesus was praying in one of those places, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John the Baptist taught his disciples. We want to pray like you. We've never seen anybody pray like this, and we want to learn to pray like you pray. And he said to them, okay, well, when you pray, say, and then he went into the prayer. And he taught them the most important parts about praying. Well, have you ever taught anybody to do anything? Because what makes a great teacher is he was able to do it in a very simple manner, with short, pretty simple words, but that said everything that they ever needed to know about praying. Do you think you guys could teach me how to do something?
Yes.
I would like to see how good our teachers are in this group. And so, I wonder, would you be able to teach me how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Honor, Ricky Bobby.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's how it's going to work. We'll get to the prayer stuff in a minute. It's a little fun. So, raise your hand and tell me how to make a peanut butter, step by step, how to build a peanut butter jelly sandwich. Okay, Eva, and then Eva. Okay, what's the first thing I do?
Take out the paper.
Okay. Take out
the paper. That's the choice. You've got to open the bag. That's right. You've got to open the bag. You can't just, yeah.
So, I remember when I was in third grade, first time I did this, I told the teacher, just put some peanut butter on the bread. And she went, oh no, that's all right. So that was very good. So you said, take a piece of bread out of the bag. Okay, now what?
Open the peanut butter.
Okay. Who's next?
Spread the peanut butter on the bread.
Okay, good night. Spread the peanut butter. Okay. Got any peanut allergies in here? I'm going to go this one.
Yeshiva.
Simple words and very short sentences. How to teach a how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And so, and now you got something really yummy to enjoy. And so, Jesus went on to teach them how to pray with this pretty short little prayer. And so, I thought we would read through it together. And then we're going to talk about just the first two parts. Okay, will you guys read with me? Okay, 1, 2, 3. Our Father in heaven, hallowed is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just like that song. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so, anybody know what hallowed means? How many of you guys were angels in the Christmas show? Okay, what was that cool thing that was above your head? A halo. And so hallowed just means, just like what a halo means an angel is very, very special and holy. Hallowed means holy, which just means very, very, very special is God's name. In the Old Testament, before Jesus, these are the names that people would say to talk to God. And he had a whole bunch of names that people made up for him. And kind of funny words like Adonai, which means Lord. Did anybody say dear Lord? If you lived in the Old Testament times, you would say dear Adonai if you were praying to God. If you said dear God, you would say Elohim. This is a word you would never say because this is the word that God told Moses was his name. Which no one really knows what it means. Does it mean I am? That's the closest we could ever figure out to what it means. But Yahweh, well, you would never say that because you didn't want to say it wrong or mess it up. So people would always say Adonai or Elohim because Yahweh was this really special name that was so holy because God used it for himself that everybody just said Lord. By Adonai or Elohim, and kept Yahweh really special. But when you read your Bibles and when you read your Old Testament, every once in a while you'll see Lord, where it's all capitalized, and that is the word Yahweh in the Old Testament. But that's why Jesus is saying, hallowed be your name, because it's so special. God's name is so special. But here's something Jesus said right before that, that nobody ever did before. And this is what made Jesus' prayer so special, is when he said, our Father. Now all his disciples knew that he was the Son of God and that God was his Father. But they never made the connection that God was their Father too. And I like what this book says about that. The uniqueness of Jesus' teaching on this subject is evident for several reasons. First, the rarity of this designation for God is striking. This is a big deal. There is no evidence in pre-Christian Jewish literature that Jews addressed God as Abba, which was the word for Father. But Abba was a special kind of word for Father. It was what kids, what you called your father in your family. Abba was a term of intimacy both children and even grown-ups would call their dad, would call their father. And so this was a really special way of talking to God that Jesus wanted everybody to do. And he said, when you pray, say, our Father. He's not just my Father. He's your Father in heaven also. He's our Father. Okay, so I got a couple questions for you that I think are pretty great questions. Okay? So, and I want everybody to chime in on your answers. Here's the first question. What makes a great parent? Eva? Does that really make, do you think that really makes a great parent?
And so,
okay, Haley, what makes a great parent? Loving. I'm gonna take some notes here, okay? So let's see, tell me if that comes up on the screen. Just enough to, okay, loving. Okay, Max, what makes a great parent? When they take you places. So when they take you places, that's great. When they include you, take you. And include you. That is great. Penny, what makes a great parent?
Teaching the kids what is right and what is wrong.
Right. Teaching them things. Okay. Teaching good things. Okay. Yeah, Julia.
When they accept you for who you are.
And these are so great. Okay. Yes.
I don't know. Term for it, but like allowing you to make your mistakes and they see you making that mistake, they still allow you to go ahead and make that mistake because they know you're going to learn a greater lesson from it.
Give you some freedom. Is that with that?
Yeah, the freedom to make good and bad choices.
Yeah. But they're still watching you as you do that.
Even if
Zoe.
They make sacrifices
for you. Ooh, that's a good one. Sacrifices. Eva, do you have anything else besides candy and TV? Okay, I'll come back to you. What are some other things that make a great parent? Okay, what do you got? Okay. More teaching. Teaching good skills. Okay. Good skills and behavior, too, I think. Could include on that. And so, okay. Well, see, these are all things, if you can read any of that, that make a great parent. And what is so important about the first part of the special prayer is Jesus is saying all the ways that God has blessed me
wants to do and give to you because he's your Father also. And that's why it's so important when Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father. Because he's not just my Father. He's your Father. My Abba is your Abba. And so we've got the same connection. This is very important. We've got the same connection with God that Jesus himself had. Can you believe that? I mean, Jesus is the Son of God, and he's very special, but he calls us to join him in his family to where his Father is our Father also. And he was the first person to ever teach that. So it's super important. Okay, so I got a second question for you. That was the first great question. Here's the second, what I think is a great question. What is great about a family? All right, Haley, what is great about a family? Okay, they are always, whoops, there for you. So, always... Boy, that is so important. Always there. What else is great about a family? Yes, Penny. Yeah, you're never alone. What else makes a family great, Max?
When you have good memories.
Okay. Make good memories. Share good memories. What else? Anything else you can think of? Covers a lot of good things. Yeah, never a dull moment, that's for sure. And so, did you notice in that prayer, Jesus doesn't say Father or my Father. How does he start it off? He says, Our Father. And just in those two words, in the beginning of that prayer, says, God is not just my Father, he's your Father. But you look around, he's everybody's Father. He's our Father. And every time you pray and you say those words, Our Father, you need to remember, not just are you a child of God, but all the people around you, kids, teenagers, grown-ups, everybody are children of God. And what does that mean? If everybody gets to say, Our Father, when they talk to God, what does that mean for me and other people? Anybody want to see the key word here? Work. I just learned that trick.
Family.
We're all part of one family. We're all part of God's family. Well, nobody had ever really talked about things like that before Jesus. And so when Jesus started this prayer, and this is why this is such a special prayer, is Jesus was saying, the God in heaven, that everybody's called God and Lord and even wondered what does his name really mean? What does Yahweh even mean? He is your Father. And he is the Father of everyone that you'll ever meet. So that makes you family with each other. And so when you think about things like that, think about all these wonderful parts of your family that you've gotten to experience, and all the good things about a family. And you start to realize that what Jesus wants us to understand in the very beginning of this prayer that he taught us is that a big part of life is understanding that you are a child of God. That's who you are. And everyone around you is part of your family. Because God is their Father too. What do you think about that, guys? And so you've got a great family in your little family, but you are also part of an even greater family.
But all the things that we get to do in our little families, being there for each other, never letting anybody feel alone, and sharing good memories, and taking care of each other, those are ways that God wants us to act with everybody. And so the little families that we belong to and that we get to be a part of are a great example for how we're supposed to live and treat everyone else in the world. And that comes out of just that first little sentence in Jesus' prayer, that you are a child of God and you are part of God's family. And the great things about your family that you've experienced, you need to help others experience that in one big family. So let's sum it up. Our Father means Abba is your Abba. That Jesus' Abba is your Abba. His dad is your dad. And you get to talk to him like that anytime you want. And the first lesson from the Lord's Prayer is that you are a child of God and connected to other people as part of God's family. And this is why Jesus says in this one story that he tells in Matthew 25 that whatever you do for the poorest and most helpless of people anywhere in the world, and he calls them his brothers and sisters, you do for me. Because we're all part of one family. When somebody does something nice for one of my kids, like one of their friends or a neighbor or another parent, it makes me feel good. And I feel like when you do something nice for somebody in my family, you're doing something really nice for me too. It means a lot to me. And so when we do something nice for other people, no matter who they are, we're doing something nice for God. And he loves it because those are his brothers and sisters. Yeah? So, can we say it one more time together? Why don't we stand up? And let's say this prayer one more time together. And I hope you'll never forget, especially the first part of it and why it's so important. And as we do that, Keith is going to come up and lead us in some more music. Okay, ready? Our Father in heaven, hallowed is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this prayer, that we know that we belong to you. And no matter where we go, or how alone we might be, we're never alone because you're with us and you surround us with your family, our family. And so, Lord, thank you that we can experience that example in our own families that we live with at home. Thank you we can experience that as a church family. And, Lord, let us experience and live that out with everyone that we're surrounded by. And take your love and your good news into the world, that we all belong to you, and that we all are a part of your family. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, parents, if you want to share communion with your kids and your families, please feel free as we worship together and have our communion time at the Lord's table. We would love to invite all the kids to be a part of that today, too. You guys are in here. And if you have any questions, come ask me. I'll be in the back of the room, or ask one of your parents about what it means. But when we come to the Lord's table and we take that little piece of bread, like in the picture, and we dip it in that cup of juice, we're remembering that the bread reminds us of Jesus' body and the juice reminds us of his blood. that he gave his life on the cross to make sure that we would always know that he would do anything to make sure that we would be with him forever and ever. And that he loves us no matter what. And so, come when you're ready. I love this song. I think it's going to lead us in here. Thank you.